Blog Talk Radio.
There's a world outside every darkened door, where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore.
Life is a highway, I wanna ride it all night long.
Ever since there were cars, Americans have had a love affair with the open road. And with quality gasoline and great snacks coast to coast, Valero is your perfect travel companion. Valero, the all-American gasoline for the all-American love affair.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is a product of L.A. Beverly Enterprises by the Beverly Nation. My name is Louis. This is Peripheral Vision, and my name is Louis Devon. Well, it's great to be with you all again tonight. Beverly Nation, I'd like to send a shout-out to all of the hosts of the Beverly Nation, our producer, Lonnie Beverly, our assistants, Sister Ricky Rochelle Jones, Lovely Ellis, Darlene Lawrence, Brother Kenneth Lozada, Brother Jawan, Brother Simeon, Sister Aaliyah Love. Just want to send my shout-out to you all and say welcome again to Peripheral Vision by Louis, with Louis Devon. Obviously, my name is Louis Devon, and we're going to invite the entire nation. We're going to open up our dialogue tonight, and we're going to have a great conversation, and looking forward to it. And what we're doing is if you want to call in, if you want to add some comment, and you want to just add into the conversation, I welcome you to join in. The number is 347-202-0392. Again, that is the Beverly Nation. You give us a ring at 347-202-0392. And like we start all of the shows, I would love to just have a word of prayer first, so let me just settle down and bring that in. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Okay. Beverly Nation, it's great to be back with you again. Tonight is November 19th, 2013, 9:30 p.m., and we're just going to pick up, you know, some of where we left off. We started the project for a new American black man. And you know something, tonight's topic, you know, let me just settle down and get my get my thoughts together. I have my thoughts together, but let me just settle down here and, you know, sip my tea like I did last week. It helps me a lot. One thing that I'm learning is being a man is being both lion and lamb, and having the wisdom to know when to be which. I started the Project for New American Black Man, and we talked about a lot about some of the things that concerns America, and I've also stated that, you know, basically I feel like a member, of a team, and I feel like our men are being disrespected, but we're not going to, I'm going to put down the sword tonight. I'm going to put down that sword tonight, that proverbial sword tonight, and I'm going to transform from my lion status into lamb, because I want to honor, serve, and respect and acknowledge our sisters tonight, our women tonight, the mothers of our community tonight. And, I think it's very important that we honor our sisters. And I'm just going to open up and say to my fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters of America, we have a problem in our country. Okay, there is a problem in our country, and there's a problem in the African American community. And I just want to say that this problem threatens to destroy the very fabric of our country. Okay, and it's really not necessarily about, okay, you know, the black community and versus this community. I'm speaking to the entire nation tonight. And what I'm saying to you is, listen, what you see happen in our community is just a microcosm to what is going to happen across America. So I'm reaching out to my Irish brothers, to my Irish fathers, to my Italian brothers, to my Italian fathers, to my Polish brothers, to my Polish fathers, to the Caucasian men, to the Latino men of all of the nations in our country. I welcome you to join this conversation. And I open up my arms, I open up my heart, I open up this forum for you to join into this conversation as Americans. Because we as Americans, we have to, you know, begin to learn how to, not learn how, but we have to enforce the idea of looking out for each other, looking out for our fellow man. Okay, so I've said in the past, you know, I'm not racist. And, you know, I'm not some kind of a bigot. I'm not a radical, okay? But I'm just a man of my community, and I care about the people in my community. You know, you couldn't mark Martin Luther King as a racist. No, he was a man who said, listen, I love America, and I love my people, and I want to do something about it, because what I do for our country, what I do for my community is going to be for the betterment of our entire country. Okay? And the purpose of tonight's topic basically is to overcome fear and hatred and to promote peace and love in our community between men and women, and love and acceptance, respect and tolerance between the different nations in our beloved country, the United States of America. I hope to make our countrymen see the devil is at work in this land. I see him. I hope to help Americans realize if one community is destroyed to a cancer, it won't be long before the cancer is stronger and will threaten to consume you as well, the entire land. I hope to just send a humble message to our women. Let us restore peace in our community through love. The institution of slavery was built on fear. Fear is the absence of love. The only way to restore peace in this land is to drop all charges we have against one another. Let's just drop the charges. Let's drop the charges. Let's begin with forgiving ourselves first. Then let's take a knee and pray for each other and embrace one another. That's what we need. That's what we need to do. And I sincerely believe that. Okay. I wanted to bring in the scripture. This scripture is found in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a book that is Solomon. It's a book of Solomon's writings. It's a book of King Solomon. He was the wisest king and noted in history. Okay, he's noted, should I say, as the wisest king in history. Okay, so there's a book of his sayings here in Ecclesiastes, and he talked about a time for everything. Now we're going to get to the whole heal our women and be real to our women. We're going to get to that. But this is where we're leading up to it. Let me just, you know, just bear with me a little bit. It says, to everything in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, okay, third chapter in the first verse, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Fifth verse, a time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Excuse me. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. Down in the eighth verse, it says, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And this eighth verse really gets my attention because it says a time of war and a time of peace. You know, I want to really call that time of peace. I really believe and feel like this is a time of peace. And I would really like to see peace just engulf our land, because America, we are the hope of the world, you know. The world's best and brightest, they come here to America hoping to create a life for themselves hoping to create prosperity, hoping to build prosperity, hoping to live a good life, whether they want to worship their God and their faith and freedom and liberty, okay? This is what America represents. And we as Americans, we kind of, we may overlook that, the importance of our significance on the earth. And as American citizens, I think sometimes we overlook the significance of our importance as citizens in this land, as citizens of the world. So what I want to do is just demonstrate what love and reaching out should be like, okay? The first thing I want to say is, I want to point out and point out one of the profiles of one of my favorite sisters, And tonight we're gonna salute our sisters tonight, So if the love fest thing makes you sick in the stomach, then you may as well catch us next week, okay? Because tonight we are going to demonstrate love. We are going to express love for each other. I'm going to tell you how much I admire my sisters, how much I love my sisters, how much I admire and adore our sisters, okay? Where should I start? Should I start with Harriet Tubman and her work? Should I come down to Coretta Scott King and her work? She's the mother of the Civil Rights Movement, the way I see it. She has to be the mother of the Civil Rights Movement because her husband was a soldier in this fight. He was the father of the Civil Rights Movement, if you ask me. And every night that he woke up, or every morning that he woke up and put on his, and washed up and put on his clothes and got his breakfast and put on his, and got prepared to step out for another day in battle during the Civil Rights era, it was Coretta Scott King who met him at the door before he walked outside and said, "Honey, you can do it. Baby, you can do it. I believe in you. And you know I'm tough." So he had to believe in her to a degree, to a great degree. And she helped to reinforce, to strengthen his spine, the devil who was waiting outside for him. And his work represented the advancement of an entire community, the advancement of an entire country. America benefited from, if you want to say America benefited from Coretta Scott King's benefit.
All right. Now, see, I know that's the devil. Hey, world, Lonnie Aloysius Beverly. Hopefully, Brother Devon come back on, has some technical difficulties with his headphones right now. But he was hitting on all cylinders when it came down to Coretta Scott King down there in Montgomery, Alabama, during the times in which he lived in 1955. So, you there, Lou?
I'm here.
All right. I just want to reiterate, knowing that I got your back. That's what BevNat does.
I really appreciate that.
Oh no,
really
of course not. The enemy is busy, and I'm not gonna be on long. I'm gonna say something in 20 seconds. Basically, during that hot summer month of 1955 in Montgomery, Alabama. You okay, Lou? Got it?
I'm here.
All right. Don't move. Whatever you're doing, just don't move. You okay?
I'm with you, Lonnie.
All right. So basically during that time, that summer 1955, the heated summer, the summer that which Dr. King's house was bombed, and that ride-or-die chick that was there with him that night, she just moved all out of the living room with baby Yolanda when the bomb went through the window, Lou.
Absolutely.
So, strong black women. We're so glad of all our black women. We're so proud of the Beverly Nation people. This man right now, last week, did 1,007. Right now, he's at 1,600. Continue your ministry, young man.
Absolutely. One of the sisters I would love to big up right now is one of the women that as much as I admire her, I have a huge crush on. Condoleezza Rice. Yes, I said it. Condoleezza Rice. She's one of the most important figures in the 21st century. Dr. Condoleezza Rice is an American political scientist and diplomat. She served as the 66th United States Secretary of State, was the second person to hold that office in the administration of President George W. Bush. She was born November 14, 1954. She's age 59 in Birmingham, Alabama. Her education, she received a bachelor's from the University of Denver, her master's from Notre Dame in 1955, and her PhD from the University of Denver's Graduate School. Her parents are Angelina Rice, John Wesley Rice, both members of the GOP, Republicans, okay? And her awards also include the Walter G. Gores Award for Excellence in Teaching, okay? Her books include No Higher Honor, a memoir of her years in Washington. Also, another one of her books is The U.S. Education Reform, National Security. And because she was the Secretary of State, she also wrote a book entitled Iraq in the U.S., the Foreign Policy. And she basically had a hearing on October 18th. And at this hearing in October 18th, 2005, then-Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice discussed the U.S. strategy in Iraq. And she was quoted to say, "I have spoken many times about why we are here. Today I want to discuss how we assure victory." Condoleezza Rice, if you're listening tonight, God bless you, and I want to salute you, okay? And that's another example of what I mean and when I say our champion black women. That is the bar that is set when the world looks at our community as African Americans and they see our women. They see Condoleezza Rice. Okay, now, I don't know if you remember when Muammar Gaddafi, who was the president of Lonnie, what was the president? What was Muammar Gaddafi the president of? What was that country?
Well, basically from 1968 until he was kind of moved in a weird way early part of this century. In 2011, he was the president of the country of Libya.
Libya, thank you, sir. Well, when his bunker was stormed and invaded by the by the rebels, they discovered that he had a special room, okay, in his bunker, in his palace, his walls were draped with pictures of Condoleezza Rice. This man had poems written to Condoleezza Rice, and Condoleezza Rice, yes, from Birmingham, Alabama. Okay, one of our champion sisters. What I'm saying is the world recognizes your genius. The world recognizes and understands your beauty. And you are beautiful women. And you are champion women. And I just want to send this shout out and say I love you. I love you and I admire you. Okay, everyone from, and I didn't even mention my mom tonight. I didn't mention my daughter who I'm proud of tonight. I didn't mention my grandmother. I didn't mention my Aunt Ron. I didn't mention my sisters. The personal people in my life who gave me my first opinion and my first outlook on sisters. That's where the respect started. That's where it was all formed back then. So I didn't even mention them, but I want to send a shout out to the women in my family and the women in my community who I see every day. And I just want to say I love you. Now, the topic title tonight says "Time to Be Real to Our Women, Time to Heal Our Women, Time to Be Real to Our Women." I chose that title because it is a quote from a song from Tupac Shakur. It's time to be real to our women, time to heal our women. I thought it was unique it just got my attention that Tupac said that because Tupac was a part of an era that in hip-hop, in that genre, especially in that time, there was a lot of negative things coming out of hip-hop music about black women. But in Tupac Shakur said his share of, B's and H's. He said his share of negative things about black women, and he made his statements about sisters, okay? But I believe that is one of the things that began to create the wedge between us as people in our community. Hip-hop didn't do us any favors as men in terms of the relationship between men and women. Hip-hop didn't do us any favors. Okay, so I just wanted to use his words to say that there was also another side to Tupac Shakur. He also knew that there was a softer side, if you will, that understood that the African American woman is the very womb of our culture, and without her we can't survive, and without her we couldn't go anywhere, we couldn't be anywhere. So, I just wanted to just say those things, and if we have any callers tonight, which I'm pretty sure we will, if you, no matter where you are, from Philadelphia to Oakland, California, I want to invite you and encourage you to come in and join the conversation. And if you have something negative to say about black women tonight, you can hold on to that for yourself, because you're going to have to deal with me, and it won't like how I come at you, okay? But if you want to encourage our sisters, if you have a story about your sister that encourages you and that you want to encourage our women, please, I encourage you to call in tonight, 347-202-0392. Again,
well, you know what, Lou? You know what? It's the great thing about it is, hi, World Lonnie A. Listen, you have some callers right now, too. And the first caller would be Optical Nerves, Sister Aaliyah Love.
Wow.
Thursday night, great. 10 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com.
Aaliyah, rock on.
Like, Brother Lou.
Yes, ma'am.
You're deep, man. And I couldn't be more proud of you tonight. Not that I'm not proud of you any other night, but you're on fire, brother. Pure fire.
That means a lot. I'm glad that you feel better, and I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm so relieved to hear your voice, sincerely.
Oh, come on. You're going to make me cry. You already had me ready to cry before when you were talking about, you know, all these great women that opened the door or like bulldozed the pathway for us young bucks to come through. So, seriously, I don't know. You got me, like, all twisted in the game here, tongue-tied and all of that. I feel like this is the first time I've ever called into anybody's radio show. I am literally kind of sort of trembling over here with pride. But something I have to bring up, because you mentioned my man Tupac. When Jasmine Guy wrote the book Evolution of a Revolutionary, a book about primarily about Afeni Shakur, they had a discussion about this book at Temple University. And a young woman got up and asked the question to Afeni Shakur, well, if we're standing here saying all these wonderful things about Tupac and so forth, why is it that he referred to so many women as bitches and hoes? How did you, as his mother, feel about that? And Miss Afeni responded by saying, first of all, I understood my son as an artist. And second of all, I look at the fact that so many people within our communities have referred to sisters in that way as sisters not doing their job. The sisters continue to perpetuate that, whereas they should have been embracing one another and reminding each other that that's not who you are. That's not what you were put here to be called. So to accept that, you know, and allow your sisters to continue to be called that and to allow yourselves to continue to be called that speaks volumes about you. So that's another reason I'm saluting you for what you're doing, because before the brothers can truly be, let's put it like this, before the acceptance of what you're saying can penetrate the sisters have to get it in their head that they're worthy of it, truly. And I'm gonna let you carry on with the show.
I'm applauding you. I'm applauding you. I am. I'm applauding what you're saying.
No.
I'm applauding what you're saying as a father. God bless you. Thank you for calling. God bless you. Wow. Okay. All right. So we're having this conversation. This is the right conversation.
You're right. And we ain't finished here. You know, 347-202-0392. Now, I want everybody to know, because I know everybody said, hey, go P. Diddy again. No, Lou Devon asked me to come on this show tonight. So tell him, Lou. Tell the world, Lou.
I did. I told him to do it. I said, we got to play tennis with this. I need you to be on the other side of that net, and I need you to knock the ball back over when I knock it on your side. This has to be a conversation between us. Absolutely.
All right now. You know, so, you know, I'm so proud of my young man tonight, and we have another person who's very, very proud. Sister Lovely Ellis. okay?
Wow.
Diva Impact, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, right here on the BevNet, Studio A. Sister Lovely Ellis, please.
Hi, and good evening to you, Lewis. Hello, Lonnie Radio. Hello, world.
You better believe it.
Hey, Ellis. How you doing, Lovely Ellis?
I'm good. I just wanted to tell you that I really love your topic because I'm an influential black woman that's out here making a difference. You've been sitting just throughout the world on the radio and just in my family and my community, things like that. And I appreciate you and what you're sharing on the air because it's important. And I just wanted to reach out to the women, the female listeners. Please do more to carry yourself with class and dignity and pride. If you want to be treated like a queen, you have to act like one. And, you know, I just wanted to say that and just to say that the ones that are listening, please, men, dress like a woman of dignity. Have some love and care for yourself and just so that you can be treated better. You can't say that there are no, you know, Lewis, they can't say that there's no good men out here. They are. But some women get with the men and they mistreat them, and then these men end up hurt and passing it on. But, you know, just as women, we need to do a lot more for ourselves, how we carry ourselves, and what we're doing in society, in our homes. Do a lot more. We can do a lot more. And I just want to shout out the ones that are doing their part. And that's it.
Wait a minute, Lovey. Wait a minute, Lou. I want to say this. Lou's record of listeners was 1717 2 weeks ago. Louis Devon, you are at 1792 tonight.
Wow.
1792.
So he broke his record tonight. And I'm going to say this while Lovey Ellis is on. You had a wonderful transfer tonight, sir. And that's all I have to say. And you know what I mean. So, thank you, Lovely.
Thank you, Lovely, for calling.
Congratulations.
And I certainly agree. I certainly agree with what you're saying. And you know what? There was a young lady that I spoke to not that long ago, and mm-hmm. you know, she basically said to me, like, you know, there are things that there's a book out there. There's a book. We're not going to bring a lot of light to the book, but there's a book that coaches women that's been coaching sisters. And she said, you know, I took some of those techniques, and I said, you know, she took some of those techniques, and she just used it in her own community. What she did was she looked at me and smiled and started the conversation. I said, wow, I'm really impressed. She said, it's some of the coaching that I'm receiving from this book. But it's not that I'm going to bring up the book. The fact is, it sheds light on what Sister Leah Love said and what mm-hmm. Sister Lovely Ellis just said. If you take more pride in yourself, if you continue to conduct yourself in a way like our Sister Condoleezza Rice does, you will find a higher quality of men that will give you the attention if that's what you're looking for, or you will attract more gentlemen. I think that's what I should say simply.
Can I say something before we bring the next caller on? Listen, from one black Republican to another, I just want to say something to you. I love you as a person. Now, I want to bring on, you know, basically something that I believe, the two women that are strong in my life and how I believe in history. One woman was the first colonial poet laureate. That's what I said, the first colonial poet laureate. Her name was Phyllis Wheatley. Strong black woman in hard times, okay? When she was probably lower than the cow that she was owned by her slave master, okay? Put in her own, in the slave master's book, okay? It was horses, chickens, cattle, and then niggas. And then her name was Phyllis, age 4. That's all I have to say on that one.
Oh.
And I want to bring on the next caller. It's 215-350. You're on with Lewis Devon here on the Righteous Consciousness.
Hi, Lewis. This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to No problem. I just wanted to get on tonight and basically say I'm enjoying your show. Your topic is awesome. And it's funny that, you know, this I'm listening to this because I was having a conversation earlier today with a good friend of mine, and, you know, she was saying how she's going in and out of these relationships and being dogged by men. And I told her, I said, we've been friends for years, and it seems like you never feel complete unless a man is in your life. And I tried to tell her that you shouldn't, it shouldn't take a man to make your life complete. I said, you need to take time out and figure out what's going on with yourself and examine yourself first. And if you believe in God, you know that God will plant that person in your life at the right time. And stop allowing men to use you and just let it go. Be strong about it. And this, a lot of women don't do that. They get involved with these men. They think that these men love them, including myself. I'm guilty. I've been in some bad relationships too, but, you know, I went in my last relationship with one eye open, one eye shut. Now I have both of them wide open, and I'm not going to allow men to manipulate me and force me into things that I'm not interested in. I had to tell her that as well. So I just wanted to comment on what Lovely Ellis was saying a few minutes ago about women having respect for yourself. Try to respect yourself, and a man will respect you much more. And this focus on you and getting your life right and dressing accordingly, like she was saying, that's what women need to do, and stop trying to do extra stuff to get attention from a man, because a good man is going to want you for you. You're not going to have to do all the extra things to get them. Basically wanted to commend you on the show. Well done. Like, your topic is awesome, and I'm really, I'm sure I could speak for a lot of the women that's out there listening, but it's touching to me, and I know it will help me going forward in relationships and dealing with men and situations that men like to take women through and vice versa. So I just wanted to get on to say thank you for the topic, and good luck, and thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Teresa, for calling. And, you know, I like what you're saying. And the advice that you gave your friend is sound advice. And if she keeps friends like you in her life, she'll be in a better position moving forward in her life. So, you know, I don't the thing I want to just say in response to what you're saying is it is so important to have a relationship with God. I mean, you know, we get out there and we go because we need to survive, right? We need to get out there. We need to go to work. We need to clock in. We need to do this. We need to do that. And in the midst of doing all that, we kind of forget to take that knee and put God first. I mean, it don't take for you to be like a super religious preacher. It just says, you just say, God, help me. You know what? I need you to help me along. You know, the loneliness that I feel, the aloneness that I feel, I need you. I invite you to come in my heart, and I ask your spirit to touch me. I can feel satisfied with me so that I can be at peace with myself. And that's what I said, that's what I talked about in terms of forgiving ourselves. You know, forgive yourself. Get to the point where, you know what, you're at peace with yourself, you know, and get to that point where, you know, I'm going to be patient and wait, because anything worth having is worth waiting for. And sometimes, you know, that wait is not going to be as long as you may think. You just get yourself lined up the way God wants you to be. And I tell you what, that man, that relationship, that situation is going to find you and overtake you, and it's going to be the best experience you ever had in your life. God bless you, Teresa. I'll be looking forward to hearing you from you again next Tuesday, too, at 9:30. God bless you. Lonnie, what do we got next?
Man, let me tell you something. I got a lot next. I mean, first of all, I'll do a station identification. This is the Blog Radio Network on the Beverly Nation, and this is Peripheral Vision by Louis Devon. And I'm Lonnie A. Beverly. Listen, we have the Pattersons on line 5.
Mr.
Hello,
Patterson.
Hello, hello. How are you, Lou? I love this
all
topic.
All is well. Talk to me.
Well, let's see. I'm enjoying the topic, and on along the lines of the bad language and references toward women, it wouldn't exactly be able to be promoted if people weren't buying it. All this about the numbers. if you don't buy it and no one buys it, then it doesn't become popular. But because a lot of people are following so-called trends, you know, they're bottom of the hill people instead of the people at the top of the hill. That's the issue.
Hello, Lewis. How you doing?
All is well. Thank you for calling, Peter. I appreciate you. I appreciate hearing you. I appreciate hearing from you tonight.
Of course. I like the topic, but there's a few little things. Like you hit something that got to me, and it was about, you said, hip-hop didn't do us no favors. You can't blame all of hip-hop, because if you really listen to it, I know about, you know, listen to some of the Heavy D stuff. Heavy D never talked bad about any woman. All he did was put them on pedestals in his songs.
Okay.
Right?
I agree.
A lot of them do. A lot of them do that. And that's wrong. And I'm so tired of people acting like Tupac was a fallen saint. He was a raised devil. That's what he was to me. I mean, he made one or two songs I could kind of listen to him like, but he was a stone cold street gangbanging thug with a criminal record who got a break. And they praise him like he was somebody special. I'm like, look at what this man has done and look at what he's doing. He's calling every single woman he knows out of their name.
Yeah.
And you want to sit there and praise? My mother heard one of his songs and she told me to turn it off. She said, I wonder what he thinks of his mother.
Wow.
And I'm like, you're right. You know, but something else, you know, you've mentioned Condoleezza Rice and these other women who are known. There are a lot of black women, and I'm just going to say black, but there's also a lot of other, there's a lot of women, period. We're going to, but since you brought
right.
black, we're going to say there's a lot of black women out there who aren't in the spotlight, who have done so much for their communities.
Yeah.
In their states that it's just, you can't even stop, you can't even mention them all. I mean,
right.
was how long ago was it that, was it Atlanta that had the first, they had the first black police chief was a woman?
Right, right. That wasn't that long ago.
And look what she went through to get to that place. And did an outstanding job for in that position.
Right.
I mean, you have Pearl Brown out of California, started out as a teacher's aide. Got into the library. She became a librarian for Logan Elementary School. Basically
right.
rebuilt the whole library from all the work she did, promoted after-school reading programs. For the 25 years she was at that school, she did all this stuff. And because of her, the reading scores for the school over 17 years went up. They even named
right.
the library after her. And she was still alive when they did that. It was like a year after she retired. Right?
Wow.
And I know this woman personally because she's one of my older cousins. And I was shocked when I heard this. Wow, you know. I mean,
right.
I knew her name out there. Okay. But the thing was, she did all that. There's so many people out there. I mean, you're doing a great job, brother. You're doing a great job. It was a great topic to come out, and people need to hear this. There's a lot of people out there who are doing just as much as other people that also got to keep their head up and realize that, you know, we need to let them know that we may not know your name, but we know your struggle. Keep your head up.
Right.
The people behind you, we appreciate what you're doing.
Right. Absolutely. And I thank you for your comment, Peter. I really appreciate it. You and your wife, I hold you in the highest regard. I sincerely do, and you know what you represent something that I want to see more of in our community, and not just in our community, but across this country and even in the world. And that's man and woman coming together in agreement and walking together in love. It's good for the land. It's good for the earth.
All right.
You're a great example. You're a great example. What we got, Lonnie?
Well, first of all, you know what I mean? I'm glad that Peter brought a different opinion to the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People believe
right.
that Tupac Amaru Shakur was the greatest rapper of all time and is, you know, lyrically blessed. But there's a lot of people believe that, you know, because they feel he sold out because of, you know, okay, he's an enigma. One day you say Brenda has a baby, and then, you know, the next day you say, which I'm not going to say on this air. It's not about that tonight. It's about praising women. The second woman that I want to talk about before we bring on another call, we've got two more callers on, and I just love this love fest tonight here on Blog Talk.
It has to be, yes.
Let me give everybody a history lesson. That's right. Lonnie W. don't always talk shit. Sometimes I give you something to grow on. In 1896, there was a law in the Supreme Court called Plessy versus Ferguson. And what happened was Homer Plessy, a man, an African-American man, wanted to ride the train in from northern Louisiana to Baton Rouge. And he wanted to ride up front with white folks. And he was told he couldn't. And he was so strong that he took it all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, where he lost Congress, because they said, okay, you know, we will provide accommodations, but they have to be separate and unequal. Well, they said separate but equal. I say separate but unequal.
I heard that.
During that time, there were major lynchings throughout the South and parts of the West. There was one woman that stood up at that time. She married a man by the name of John Burnett. She became the first true freedom fighter since Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman in the new century of the new 20th century. Remember this name as I bring on the next caller, Ida B. Wells of Barnett. We go to the next caller here. It is the archivist. It is the archivist. Before I bring her on, before she says anything, I want to thank the 1,917 people.
Thank bless
that
God.
Have called into Peripheral Vision at this time, 1917. You have the archivist, Ricky Jones, online.
Hi, Sister Ricky Jones. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? First of all, that is Soror Ida B. Wells. Thank you very much. Fabulous, distinguished, sophisticated, talented woman of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, first and foremost.
Let them
thank
know.
You very much. But what you're doing tonight is absolutely on point. And it's a shame that a lot of our sisters don't get where they need to be, don't understand it. And we can't always fault them for not recognizing the beauty that is in them, the power that is in them, because they're so inundated with the foolish messages in media, in magazines, in the neighborhood, in the structure, just everywhere where they're exposed to any types of opinions. And they formalize their opinions. If it's not at home, they formalize who they are and what they are by what others tell them what they are and who they are. And it's sad.
Right.
It's sad. But I'm glad that you're bringing up a topic. And granted, we have some powerful sisters that have done things. But, you know, a lot of times people forget that it's not so much the big grandioso things that you do that makes you unique and different. It's the little things, paying attention to things in your neighborhood, being that point person that might have the answers to the questions, understanding that there's a need in your neighborhood or on your block, taking the initiative to be the outspoken person, the little things, the littlest things, watching how you cook, watching how you clean house, watching how you interact with men, just the little things women can kind of teach our young girls to do and kind of get a gist of how you should conduct yourself as a lady. Plenty of all of my heroines come from home. My mother was my idol. My aunt is my idol. My aunt had, not so much now, but when she was younger and still being able to wear her high heels, I always just tell people, I got my vicious walk. I got my vicious walk that has landed me a lot of places because of my aunt. You know, when I was a little girl, I never forget, she walked down the street and a gentleman said, girl, you can knock a pleat straight. And I just said to myself, wow. And she was wearing a long, long pleated skirt. It was a long skirt, almost down past her knees. But the way she carried herself, it just exuded what femininity was about. You know, so, and I said, ooh, I want to be just like that when I grow up. I want to have that walk where I can knock a pleat straight and blah, 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 blah. And so with the little things, and if we can teach our young ladies and even teach some of our old heads, because some of our old heads out here need a little bit of help too. You know, some of them are not too far beyond getting some kind of help, some reformation, some little shining and polishing or something. But if we can just look at the little things that women do and go from there, find a mentor, find somebody that you don't have to idolize them, but somebody that kind of gives you the forethought to think, ooh, maybe I want to do that. But you're doing a wonderful job. I thank you for the topic tonight. I thank you for allowing God to use you in this ministry and doing the things that he asks of you to do and that you do.
All right. Lou, you still there?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You got all struggle the archives, huh? Hey man, I need you. Hey man, stay focused, man.
I was in awe. But
Listen, man. We're not finished. I want to bring on. You know, every time a caller comes on, you know me, my mind's playing tricks on me. I'm gonna tell you another young lady that I have to tell all of you out there in Blog Talk Land tonight that I admired, and someone that taught me about education and the importance of it. In Chicago in the 1970s, there was a young lady who felt that the public school system was not good enough for the inner city children of the South Side. And she fought hard the Illinois State Supreme Court tried to fight against her opening her school there in the South Side Chicago. And on West State Street, she finally got the funds to open her first school. And it was a preparatory school, and I'm telling you right now, it became not only the best school in Chicago, but the number one preparatory school in the state of Illinois. Let us give praise to Marva Collins tonight. Now we go to the next caller.
It shall be
a person that really, really, really is joined at the hip. It shall be a Darlene Lawrence of Righteous Consciousness Monday night, 10 o'clock here on blogtalkradio.com, Studio A. Darlene.
Well, hello there. Brother Lou, how are you tonight? You are doing a wonderful job. I'm so glad you are, because you're doing a wonderful job. I'm enjoying everything that you're talking about. It is always a pleasure when I hear my brothers give support to the sisters, okay, because I feel like black women, we have lost something in a way. And it's some of us that never, you know, we never lost it, but because of so many that it has taken away. You know, I got this thing about them always calling us an angry black woman. But what you're doing is telling the sisters, you know, carry yourself in a certain way so that you can be also looked upon in a certain way. And I agree with that message 106,000,000%, because that's something that I try and tell my younger sisters, my family, you know, anybody that I see that need a little bit of encouragement or just, you know, sometimes, you know, our sisters don't have anything but what they see on TV or in these videos. And, you know, I got a whole thing about that too. So, you know, I appreciate what you're doing, showing, you know, giving honor to those women. And there is one, you know, within this particular society, she might not look to play that role of beauty, but it's what was inside this lady, Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, she is one of my idols. She was one, she took a whole lot. She went through so much. She stood strong. She was beaten, but she still stood there. And she said, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. So,
right.
You know, it's a lot of good women, strong African-American, black, whatever you want to call us, and also women, okay, not just to stay within this. You know, my passion is about my people, but there is a lot of really good women and women that do get it. It is the ones that want to get caught up in these trendy things, you know, wearing clothes that certainly don't look presentable, getting yourself all tattooed up. And then you're supposed to go on a job interview with tattoos all on your face and around your neck. You know, it's a right. whole lot, and we have been under it, and it's far more. This whole thing with the feds and, you know, that kind of stuff, all that, that's some spiritual warfare. That's what we're under attack with, you know, the lyrics in the song. You know, words,
right.
words are powerful. You know, words are very powerful. So, you know, I just want to say to you, I don't want to take a lot of your time up because I know our wonderful Lonnie Radio is going to soon be coming on. But I just want to tell you I support you. I love what you do, and I love the message that you have tonight and all the callers calling in. You know, it's, you just keep on doing what you're doing, Brother Lou.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you. And you know what? When I know you're in the room, I can breathe easier because I know somebody got my back. And Sister Darlene Lawrence, I really appreciate everything you stand for. And again, I'm going to keep saying it because you say it and I say it, and it really means something. We are kindred spirits. And I believe, to take it a little step further, I believe all of the hosts of the Beverly Nation are kindred spirits. I think what we have in our host and Lonnie Beverly, I mean, in our producer as Lonnie in Lonnie Beverly, what I think we have is a father type. I think his spirit sets the tone for what we all bring and deliver. We've all been handpicked, and I believe it's because we all are kindred spirits. I think we all are on the same boat, moving in the same direction. And I think if we continue to move down this road, I think if we all continue to have our consensus, and our consensus at the Beverly Nation is love. That's our consensus, love. So whether that means, you know, whether that means we talk about whatever the topic is coming at, is let's love each other. And Darlene Lawrence, that's what you represent, and I sincerely appreciate you calling. And let's just keep fighting a good fight. Let's keep fighting a good fight.
Listen, y'all, that was from November 18th, 2013. Our lovely legacy, the wonderful Louis H. Devon Jr. Provision. And we've been doing this thing, man, for almost 9 years, okay? Tell somebody, tell your children, tell your grandma about O&D Dynasty. Of course, at that time, I was known as, you know, Lonnie Aloysius Belly, you know, my birth name. And then, of course, 2014, you know, I embraced my tribe and changed my name legally to Oladele Malewa Ngozi. That's why Beverly Nation is Beverly Nation, right? It's all relative. And I want everybody in the sound of my voice to press one and talk about this show tonight, about, you know, giving our women a level of greatness. Let's go there right now. First of all, I'm going to the wonderful 2020. How about this? MS and Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, the great Huni Bakatun. Huni, I know you have interviewed Louis Devon in one of your early shows. Actually, it was your third ever show in ONI history. Let's talk tonight about this show. And all the folks, just press one. I'm going to bring you on.
Hey, peace and abundant divine blessings. You now listen to the tone of voice of the master sound therapist, master sound healer, and the grand architect of the universe. I am also the only begotten son of a bare-knuckle prize fighter, undisputed and undefeated bare-knuckle prize fighter. That's my mother. You know, this show, first of all, I can't wait until it's over so I can download the archives and the files that you have shows and proves that it was only a matter of time for you to be voted into the Internet Radio International Hall of Fame, Radio Hall of Fame. I even heard him even mention the name of producer just a little while ago before, you know, the show ended and you brought me on. Let me say this here. You know, I love the topic. Let's be real. If you look at 1800s, 1900s, you know, 20th to the 21st century, going to soon to be 22nd. As black men, we have yet to be able to do that. I have seen other nations of people, other ethnic groups of people, literally would go to war with their women. The so-called black man would not do it to save his life. It's easier for him or them, some of them, to fuss and fight and argue over some of the most silly stuff you can imagine. But if you ask the average one to do that. And let me say this right now, because I've been saying it well over 36 years. Regardless if you believe this or not, I would vacate my body in an instant when it comes to one of mine. No hesitation, no excuse. And trust me, like I said many times, it's not going to be over. When I vacate the body this way and I meet you on the other side, that's just the beginning of a whole nother thing right there, okay? But how many can say that? A lot of them won't say that. It's because they're either caught up, either spellbound by so many things that's been told. And one way or another, that's been extracted out. And part of the reason why I have incarnated here was for that purpose, okay?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you're on this line right now. And, of course, we're going to continue to honor black women tonight. One woman that was close to my mother and father, and, of course, the grand old Church of God in Christ, a person that knew about talent, and she mentored so many. A lot of the great singers you know in gospel music went through the school of this woman from Detroit, an outstanding individual, Honey Bakatun. Her name is Dr. Mattie Moss Clark, an outstanding woman that trained people to be honorable and to sing with anointing. You know what I mean? And she will be honored tonight. The great Dr. Mattie Moss Clark, one of the greatest teachers of gospel music, and a woman that needs to be known. How about that, Honey Bakatun?
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to learning more about who you just named.
That woman, man, was a person of honor and humbleness, and she didn't believe in title. She was great because she helped people and changed people, which is our mission statement. She's a wonderful person, and may she translate in peace upon us tonight. Honey Bakatun is a person that is strong, honest, and available. How about that? We will celebrate his second birth tonight. Back in 1985, this man learned something about himself to help and give an outstanding resilience of love. Before he became a broadcaster, he was a person that told the truth and didn't care if it hurt. Because we know all around the world that the truth will make you free. What is free? Free is thinking. Free is a person that's able to go to another level of greatness in their own mind. So overstand the 2020 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Enshrinee, the outstanding Honey Bakatun, my wonderful friend and broadcasting legend. Any last comments before I take the next caller?
I love you. Just how much I love you, how much I'm proud of you. And, again, look at how far you have come. You got archives, and I got to give it up to one of the judges. She said something. I've been feeling this way, but it really makes a lot of sense. She said the work that you have put in, and those of us who rallied around you, the age in which we're in, won't be fully recognized, you know, like it always, you know. It seems like, you know, once we move on or whatever, then all of a sudden, you know, you finally get recognized for the good works that even yourself have incarnated here to do, which is another subject I'll be covering real, real soon. Okay? Love you.
I love you, and nothing you can do about it. And, of course, that man is a broadcasting legend. The Honorable Honey Bakatun. We'll go to the next caller right now, and I'm so proud of all these callers that been, you know, so patient. Louis H. Devon Jr. started with us tonight. You know, recognize this. We only at that time had 1,900 listeners, and now we're in the millions. Caller, you're on the line.
Good evening, Brother O. This is Jared, the Gifted One, Thomas, from Louisiana. How are you this evening?
Man, the archive speaks for itself. Talk to us, our outstanding intern.
I'm listening to the show tonight, and I got caught up in the show that I was pressing one because I wanted to comment on the actual subject. But now since I'm actually talking to you, I wanted to just say this. Our generation has been lost in translation with how they see themselves. And even with what I was saying about with Tupac, he did say things to not degrade women, but he did speak on calling them B's and H's. And I'm not going to say that on the air. But there were female rappers in hip-hop that stood up to these male rappers who degraded women, and they took back that power to show other women, look, y'all don't have to let these men degrade you. And they stood for other women. MC Light, Queen Latifah, Salt and Pepper, Lil' Kim. These were female rappers who came in and they dominated the rap force to kind of show women, look, y'all don't have to let these men degrade you. And you don't have to settle for being called a bitch or a whore. And it was female rappers that I was more inspired by because they showed that we can do what men do just as better, and we can have more control and more power than they do. And it was women like that who showed that we don't have to just settle for what people say, and we don't have to settle for how the world sees us. And it was just so crazy to grow up in the 90s and just to listen to how the music was representing our generation. So even now, fast forward to where we are in 2021, female comedian, and I don't want to mess her name up, Monique, she did a blog where she was telling women about how they dressed in public. And a lot of women attacked her for that because they were upset that she told them about wearing their hair bunnies in the airport and in the grocery stores, and just to go out in public, to how you represent yourself is how people will talk about you and how you will be represented. And so situations like that just show me that we have been so disconnected from the ancestors, from the grandparents and the great-grandparents who were teaching us how to look, how to dress, how to present ourselves. We've gotten so taken away from that now we don't even know who we are. We don't know who our identity is. And women are in a space where now, and I'm not speaking for the older women, I'm speaking for women in my generation, the 80s babies and growing into the 90s. They've been so disconnected from those teachings that they did not get the chance to get from the great-grandmother and the grandmother who really gave them those wisdoms and those lessons and those pearls of wisdom to live by. So this conversation was a really great conversation. And like I said again, I got so caught up listening to the archive that I was like, I started pressing one because I wanted to speak on it. And now that I'm actually getting a chance to talk about it, that was a great conversation. That was a great message that needed to be shared. You did a wonderful job tonight with sharing this particular message, and we should have more conversations like that. We definitely should have more conversations like that.
Yes. You know, Oney Dynasty, when we first started with Beverly Nation, it was no Damon Network, it was no Video Arms, none of that. We just did radio. And the people that was on at that time, Jared, did it every week. There was no situation where, you know, okay, you have a month to do this, or, you know, have a news show or a sports show that's consistent like we are today. That show did less than 2,000 listeners at that time. The Growth of Oney Dynasty is a commitment to excellence that will span the bands of time for all generations. Like Sylvia L. Blaylock said, like, Oney Bakatoon was aforementioned, that the greatness of us is like a time capsule. And you know we were here. The next call on the line right now, We want to bring you on. This archive is outstanding. Louis H. Devon is a wonderful spirit. And now we bring you on. Caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
I am Offset Atun Ray, calling from the land of Nubia. And first, Louis, I want to say thank you so much for honoring the black woman. I personally needed to hear that because here's the thing. We're living in a very different era of time, and the disrespect upon black men and black women in the household is ridiculous. And one thing, one of the sisters mentioned, she said the black woman is missing something. And you're right, and I'm going to address what we're missing. We're missing our nature. We're missing our culture. We're missing our freedom. We're missing our way of life. We're missing what we don't have. And one thing I want to point out, the black man and the black woman is the only stock of people that have suffered and have been tortured and have been victims of rape and everything for over decades and decades of time. And I wrote a post a couple of days ago apologizing to the black man because we are somewhat responsible for what is going on today. And even though we can't help that we had to submit to the white man in slavery in order for our black men to still be here on the planet, we're disrespecting each other because we were programmed to do that. The white man put us in a position to where we have to depend upon them and be in fear of each other. But it has to break. Someone has to break the generational curse. The man has to learn how to respect the woman, and the woman has to learn how to respect the man. We cannot keep pointing the finger and saying the man is doing this and the woman's doing this when we're all responsible for how we treat each other. And like the great master teacher Malachi York said, the only thing we're missing in this realm is care. Look at Indians. Look at the Mexicans. They love their women. You don't see Indian men and Chinese women getting online bashing their men and bashing their women. So why are we doing it? Louis, thank you so much for honoring the black woman tonight because I personally needed to hear it for myself. Appreciate you.
Well, first of all, thank you so much, outstanding intern. Offset Atun Ray, because, you know, what we have done on this dynasty, you know what I mean, for all of the greatness, you know, you guys partake, you know, people on the line, you know, been from 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. When we did this radio network at that time, of course, you know, Lonnie Radio, you know, Beverly Nation, you know, we had a purpose that we need to survive. How about that? We need to survive in the new realm at that time in 13. And look at where we are today. You know, the outstanding watchtower that tells people, that's right, tells people, get it right and get it right now. Because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Understand that. So we're going on our next caller. Thank you for being so patient. Caller, you're on the line right now with me, Oladele and Malay Wingosi, and this wonderful archive.
Good evening, everyone. This is Genesis Amaris Kemp. I'm calling in from Houston, Texas, and I really want to salute everyone who has chimed in. The callers had some incredible things to say, as well as the archive message and talking about the importance of saluting black women and just getting them to see themselves for who they are and not just always bending and appeasing to what society makes us feel, makes us perceive ourselves as, or conditions us. And I really want to commend the last intern, Offset, as well as Jarrett, for their ad-libs here because it was just amazing, because in the media right now, you just see so much disgruntled around how people think the black woman should be and all of that stuff. And I just want to encourage all the women out there is to walk and know that you are created in a masterpiece, that you are gifted, you're talented, you are here for a reason. And just because somebody doesn't understand you, that means that they're just not tied to your purpose and your calling. And never settle because somebody thinks that you don't have a seat at the table. Whenever you don't have any opportunities that are coming to you, maybe it's time for you to create your own opportunities. But I just want to say, as a black woman or a brown woman or however you identify yourself as, just embrace and love yourself and run your own race. And remember, you're not in competition with anyone but yourself. So if you want to help other women, look for ways to compliment other women instead of tearing one another down. And the same goes for a black man. Like, I salute all the black men out here who are trying to do right and break away from, you know, systemic racism, oppression, and et cetera. Just keep doing what you're doing and ensure in due season your hard works and efforts will pay off if you faint not.
Outstanding, outstanding prognostication tonight from Genesis Amaris Kemp, an outstanding intern here on these ONE stations. Our archives is the meat that we all eat. You know, we get a chance to do this. You know, shout out to Antonia Batts, who cannot be on tonight, and she'll be on next month. But we get a chance to just, you know, embrace history. ONE Dynasty is fantastic. Tomorrow night on these ONE stations, we have another intern that has a lot to say. His name is Jarek the Gifted One Thomas, and his ONE intern prowess. Tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern. Daylight time on these ONE stations. And of course, Beverly Nation is advertising to ONE, which is Ola Dele Ingo's enterprise, reaching the course at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime on at bevnet.com. We're Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Dele Ingo's here at Tenderness Google Plus. Ola Dele Malay Ingo's here at Facebook, as well as our business page. The ONE Outstanding BevNet Classic, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio. Established 2013. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful programming tonight? Ole de le. That goes with mine, gmail.com, and I am the international internet radio producer and shrinee for the class of 2021, as well as your mother and father's favorite producer. Ola Dele Malay Ingozi saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. This is Louis H. Devon, Jr. Don't you know by now? We great.